And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
"755 is Real" with David O'Brien and Eric O'Flaherty is on the air now.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of 755 is Real. Producer Cam here with you, a live room edition of 755 is Real. David and Eric answering your Braves questions in real time on the Athletic app. A great turnout as always. If you weren't able to join today but want to be notified when we do host the live rooms, make sure you're following David and Eric on Twitter at DOBrianATL and at EOF34. Also, make sure you're following the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get the show. In addition, make sure you are subscribed to us on YouTube, where we post all of our podcasts, including the video shows. In today's live room, stellar questions, as always. It's what we come to expect of you guys. Questions regarding the Braves' daytime game woes. David and Eric kind of dissect and speculate on why Atlanta has struggled so much in those types of matchups. In addition, the guys look into Spencer Strider's oblique injury and how that may set up the Mets series. A question regarding the wild card versus the divisional crown. Is there a benefit actually to just playing the wild card game? David and Eric share their insight into that and much more in today's show. And as always, without you guys supporting the show, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing it. So thank you so much for your constant support. And without further ado, here's David and Eric.
Well, I guess the big one over the weekend was, before yesterday's base running snafu that proved quite costly, was Spencer Strider getting scratched from a start. You know, they called it oblique strain or oblique soreness. I really think it was one of those things that would not have stopped him from pitching, especially in a big game, but it was a convenient way to kind of shuffle the rotation and get him lined up to pitch in that Mets series, to get the three big guys lined up in that Mets series. And I'm assuming, you know, Freed and Kyle Wright are going to be the other two pitching in that three-game Mets series. That's just me speculating. They have not said, but I'll be surprised if he doesn't start, you know, to open the week at Washington, which would put him in line to start that in the Mets series. I mean, that series is looming huge, obviously. And this is also a way to give him a little extra rest. He's up over 130 innings now, which is about 35 more than he pitched last year. And even though he's showing no sign of fatigue, I think they're probably looking at it as, you know, if he goes all the way through the postseason, you're going to end up being, you know, he could end up being 160 innings.
Yeah.
So I think this was a good way. I mean, I'm not doubting that he was a little sore, but I don't think it's something that normally would have probably kept him from starting. But I think this is a real smart move more than anything. He certainly didn't show any signs of being sore in that last outing.
No, he looks great. You know that if you go into the training room during the season, if you sat in there for 2 hours, somebody comes in for something.
Right.
Know, every guy comes in for something. And there's a lot of these things that, you know, yeah, you'd pitch through if it works out and it lines up with your schedule and everything. But this lining up with the way they probably would have wanted him to line up anyway, you just kind of push him back a day, and not to cause any kind of, you know, frenzy. You just say it's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And
right.
It's one of those things that just kind of works with, I think, the plan. And that's when you do it and bring it up. And I am sure, I mean, he hasn't thrown this many innings before, so it's something I'm sure they're trying to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Cause if he would have pitched his regular turn this weekend here in Philly, he would not have been in line to pitch in that Mets series. And you certainly want to have him pitching one of those three games in that Mets series.
You want him pitching. Yeah, in any big game, you want to give him a chance to be on the mound.
I mean, every game is big, you know, at this point, because they got to win as many as they can. But I think they have a better chance of beating the Mets with him on the mound than they would you know, if he did not pitch one of those games. So, he looks great and he's showing no sign of fatigue. And that's really huge for them because, man, if he's pitching like he has been lately in the postseason, you gotta like your chances. I mean, cause that's the kind of wipeout stuff. He's got stuff that he can dominate any team, you know?
I know. Yeah. I was thinking this morning, I was like, I know he doesn't have the track record and you don't know what somebody's going to do in the postseason, but if you had a wild card game right now, it'd be hard not to start him.
Yeah, this guy's not going to be – he has not been phased by anything so far, and he's just such a sharp, intelligent guy that I just can't see the big lights or anything affecting him. I really can't. He stepped up to every challenge, and he's just such a calm, you know, really aware guy of everything. He's just so mature, and I really feel really confident in him, even more than I did, say, last year when Kyle Wright came up and pitched his ass off in a World Series. But I didn't know how he would respond to that, you know. I am confident of Strider. So I like their foursome with those three and Charlie. I like that foursome in the postseason, and you're certainly going to need four starters. So if they go, you know, beyond that first round, and of course, they still want to win the division and avoid that first round if at all possible, because you don't want to go into the Dodgers here. You don't want to face the Dodgers in the second round with your, you know, number four guy pitching game one. You'd much rather be able to line up your starters and go at the Dodgers full tilt. Because I like the Braves starters against the Dodgers starters. If they can line them up,
yeah,
go with their best guys. The Dodgers, you know, rotation has got a lot of injury concerns right now. And I'd really like the Braves rotation going up against the Dodgers if they don't have to play that first round.
Yeah. And it's tough too, because it's hard for me to look at, like, you know, Kershaw's regular season, even though he's having a great regular season, he's been banged up a little bit, but it's like guys like Charlie and Kershaw, I don't care how they did in the regular season.
Right. There's
something about when those bright lights come on. But still, I mean, I liked, you could almost, you know, the top three for the Braves right now, you could almost just hit shuffle and line it up any way you want. And I don't really care who pitches one, two, or three.
Yep.
Charlie's been a little step behind, but he's still Charlie Morton.
Right. Right. Yeah, that first three, I don't think you can go wrong with that in any order. I agree. Just, you probably want to do it, you know, based on trying to vary the look as much as you can from day to day to day, but that won't be a problem because all three of them are so different.
I mean,
So you got a big, tall, rangy lefty with a big breaking ball in Freed, who throws hard too. You got Kyle with his nasty stuff, big, tall right-hander, and then you got Strider, who's just a freak, a unicorn. You know?
Yeah, he might as well not be left or right-handed with the fastball he has. You know, it's like I don't think with these guys it matters if you go left, right, right, or right, left, right. You know, because like you said, it's just three different looks. Kyle's got more of the sinker slider. Freed's lefty with a hammer, and then Strider's fastball is just something that you're not seeing around the league. Like, he's all by himself with that fastball. So I don't think it matters.
Yeah. So in this four-game Phillies series, they got a break in that Wheeler came back last night. He missed a month, and he came back last night through four scoreless with two hits against the Blue Jays. So he will not pitch in this four-game series against the Phillies. And they're on a roll right now, man. They're playing good ball. So it's going to be a tough matchup still, though. I mean, the Phillies got some pitching, and you're looking at Freed versus Ranger Suarez, who's pitched really well this year tonight. I mean, if Freed's on his game, you got to like him in that one, but it's a tough matchup. You got Odorizzi against Nola. That's a real tough matchup.
Yeah.
Braves, but the Braves hit Nola better than most teams do. Yeah. So, and then you got Kyle Wright on Saturday going against Bailey Falter. Falter's pitched real well this year, lefty, but Kyle Wright's, you know, major league wins leader for a reason.
Yeah.
And so consistent. I mean, this guy gives you 6-7 innings every time out, allows usually one or no runs, and at most two runs. So two earned runs. So that's pretty much what he's done every time out.
And ever since he learned how to minimize the damage, he's just been a different guy.
Night and day, yeah. And then Sunday, you got Charlie going against Kyle Gibson. So should be a good series, real good series. And it's obviously hugely important. I mean, the before you go to Washington, where you really, you know, you really hope to sweep the Nationals. I know anything can happen on a given night with a good start from a Nationals pitcher, but you really want to go up there looking to sweep that series before you face the Mets in the biggest series of the year, probably.
You know what's so tough about this time of year and the Mets playing so well is the Braves are on pace to win over 100 games, or at least 100.
And yeah, on pace to win about 102.
You look at a series against the Nationals where you don't sweep them as like a disappointment, but throughout the season, if you win, that, I mean, all you're trying to do is win series. And yesterday there was a base running blunder or whatever, but yeah. I mean, it was another good series. You know, you took two out of three. It's just tough with being in a division where two teams are going to win 100 games.
Yeah, it's going to be the Braves' first time to win 100 games since I think 2003. They won 101.
Yeah,
they've already won like five more games than they won last year.
Yep. And they won the World Series.
And they still got almost 2 weeks left in the season. They took it. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's tough not to get wrapped up in the drama of it, and you definitely want to avoid that first round. But, I mean, who won the NL West last year?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I think
nobody remembers.
I think it's going to – I think this competition, this tense competition, is really going to benefit both teams in the postseason. They're going to go in having played – stayed, you know, foot to the gas the whole way and with intense competition every day instead of, you know, that lull before going in. You know, both teams are going to be trying to win the division all the way to the end. They're not going to be like, okay, we'll settle for the wild card. So I think both teams are going to go into the postseason, the Mets and the Braves, you know, playing good ball and intense, you know, and not have to flip that switch the way the Braves sometimes did, you know, back in the 90s, early 2000s when they kind of clinched early like the Dodgers have done this year. And then you kind of catch your breath and line up your rotation and all that. Well, the Braves a lot of times had trouble flipping that switch and going back to intense mode. And a lot of times they got caught in that first round kind of asleep before they could get going again. Next thing you know, they lose that first game you know, you're trying to play catch up. So
it's like adrenaline practice, you know, leading into the playoffs. When you have adrenaline, like you just got this extra burst of energy, everything just fires a little quicker, a little different, and you have to kind of breathe and calm yourself down. And when you go straight from, you know, like six games, you wrap up the season in Miami and Pittsburgh, and you've got a seven-game lead and you're going to the playoffs, like that adrenaline's just not there. And then the playoffs hit, and all of a sudden you're wired, and you know, you have to calm yourself down and figure out how to play like that. I think it's good to have, I guess I'd call it like high adrenaline reps leading into the postseason, so it's not such a foreign feeling.
And we saw that last year with the Braves.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were playing right to the end, trying to win that division. They didn't clinch that division until the last week. So it was they were pushed, man. They had to really play well for a long stretch. And that's what they got to do this year. So, because they really do want to win the division, man. They're still a game behind. And that's what I think that's what, you know, everything's so magnified at this point. If that base running blunder had happened in, you know, April, May, June, you know, you'd have already turned the page and not be talking about it. But yesterday it felt like it was a kind of an opportunity wasted, as it turned out, because the Mets end up losing big to the Brewers. I mean, the Mets have got to be kicking themselves because the Braves lose earlier in the game the night before, or yesterday rather. The Braves lose and then the Mets give up five runs or something like that in the seventh inning, and end up getting
blown out a little bit.
Brewers. So yeah, they had a chance to gain another half game on the Braves and did not.
Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You know, everybody's going to ask about that. I don't think there's a real clear, there's nobody, everybody wants somebody to be, to take all the blame for that blunder yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can take all the blame, but I thought Wash was clearly indecisive in that you can't wave Riley home. He's a 230-pound guy. Wave him home, and Riley's going full tilt by that point around third base, and then throw up the stop sign when he's already past third base. I mean, he's lucky he didn't, you know, I mean, I'm surprised he was able to stop and get back as quickly as he did. So I thought Wash was at blame, at fault there. But I thought also Contreras was at fault in that he was going, you got to credit the intensity. Contreras is trying to get to third after he gets that good read on it. Riley didn't get a good read. Contreras did. But at the same time, you got to be aware, you know, young guys, you can't just put your head down and run like you're, you know, in a 100-meter dash with not being aware of what's happening in front of you, because anything could happen. I mean, Raleigh could fall down, you know, he could trip, and you got to be aware of that, not just running full bore. So I thought Wash made a mistake there, which is, you know, uncharacteristic of Wash, and that was a little late to do that to a 230-pound, 240-pound guy. And I thought Contreras needed to be a little more aware of what was happening in front of him rather than get – he was almost to third base, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if Contreras – he's not – you can't just run the bases staring at the third base coach. You know, you're kind of taking a look. You got to hit the bag. You look up again. You know, I think it was just an awkward play, the timing of it. I don't think it's like this huge, crazy blunder. I think it's just an awkward play. Contreras had the ball in front of him, so he could see whether second baseman was going to catch that ball or not. Riley had to go, like, he's not facing that direction. He's trying to turn to third, so he has to look and watch. And then he gets kind of, I mean, goes back to the bag, you know, turns on the jets and tries to go around third. Wash threw up a late stop sign, and I'm sure Contreras looked up and saw Wash waving, and he's about to put his – you got to put your head down and run at that point. He's a catcher. So I don't think it's like this massive mess up. I think it was just an unfortunate, you know, play. You know, it's stuff that happens, and you can focus on one base running blunder. You can look at it and say, shit, we scored two runs. You know, I mean, you can look at the whole game, and there's plenty of things that pop up throughout the game that cost you over that one play. But really, for me, when I watched it, I wasn't like, oh, this guy dicked up, that guy messed up. I think Wash definitely threw up a late stop sign.
Yeah.
And Contreras has to be looking up. And I mean, I just wish people could understand how fast that's happening.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, when you're watching it, you get 17 replays. It's easy to dissect. Yeah. But when it's happening full speed,
yeah.
I mean, you got people criticizing Contreras who haven't ran full speed in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, you start running full speed and you're trying to, you're in the major leagues, you know, there's a lot happening. So I don't.
Crowds roaring. You're thinking, it's intense, man.
There's so much happening and there's a lot going on. And yeah, they're pro athletes and they got to be able to handle it. But I just don't think it was a massive dick up. I just think it was just kind of an awkward play that cost them.
Yeah. I mean, they've had some base running mistakes lately, some small ones, some, you know, medium ones. And, so it kind of adds up and it kind of seems like they've been a little bit sloppy on the bases lately. And I think that's why they had a team meeting the day before that, ironically. But yesterday's was one of those things where just a couple of little things ends up being a big play, but it wasn't like anybody just really screwed up totally. But you know, one thing about the speed of the game, man, I tell people, if you ever get a chance to go to spring training game, go down to the close as you can get to the field, go to the railing and just watch an inning, because you will be stunned at how fast Major League Baseball games are. Even if you go to minor league games and you got good seats at minor league games, there is a noticeable difference in the game, the minor league games, the college games, and the major league games. There is a noticeable difference in the speed of everything.
And that's the biggest thing guys struggle with as they climb the levels, is the game just gets faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
And these guys are able to make the correct decisions on the fly, you know, without even really thinking about it. Like, it just becomes natural to them because they get used to that speed of the game. But yeah, I agree. I mean, even if you watch, like, if you watch an NBA game on TV,
yeah,
it's like, all right, these guys are kind of cruising up and down the court. You get some seats close to courtside, and you see a 6'8" dude just flying down the court. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to appreciate on TV the speed that all these guys are running. And even like a slow major leaguer, you know, people making fun of Olsen.
Yeah.
If they tried to have a foot race with him, he probably smokes them.
Yeah, that, but man, just watching a play develop though, like a guy, like a bang bang play at first base, it happened so fast, man. The running, the throwing, and the guys, the infielders field balls and throw harder than any, so much better, so much quicker than what you see at lower levels. It's just so precise.
It's
maximum, you know, efficiency, which you have to do to get major league runners out. And as a runner, you have to go full bore if you have any chance of beating out an infield hit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's how I break it down, is I just don't, it's hard to criticize that too heavily for me because I know how fast the game is, and plays like that happen.
Yeah.
So much faster when you're running full speed than when you're watching on TV.
Let's, you want to take a couple questions here, man?
Yeah. Let's open it up. Who we got? Jeremy P. What's up, Jeremy?
What's up, Jeremy?
Hey guys. First, I just want to say that's a really good point you guys make about the Braves are clearly having a better regular season this year.
Yeah.
But because of where they are in the standings, everybody's perspective is all jumbled up. Because of the year the Mets are having, it's like, oh, we're, you know, we lose a game to the Nationals and it's, you know. But
these are two of the best three teams.
Right.
These are two of the best three teams in the National League.
I want to talk about, and these there were some comments that kind of have strengthened what I think on these day games. I mean, everything seemed to be, you were talking about, hopefully we sweep the Nats when we play them next. Well, we had a chance to sweep them yesterday, and everything was in our favor, except it was a day game. That seems to be what comes against us. And then I saw somebody say, and I've just noticed this year, but during Snicker's whole time, that this Braves have kind of struggled more in day games than night games. And I don't know if you would know anything about that, DLB, but just you guys, you know, have you thought about that? What goes on? I kind of think it's maybe a preparation thing where they don't get the same, you know, they already have optional batting practice. You guys talked about that a month or two ago. So when they come into day games, you know, are they getting even less kind of prep? And because it's especially the hitters that struggle. So just want to see if you guys would kick that around a little bit.
I don't. You know, I mean, let me mute you real quick because it's echoing. You know, for me, I pitched great in day games my whole career, and I have zero reasoning for it. It just worked out. We had a year where we lost on Monday all the time until, like, I don't know, mid-August or something. And we started wearing high pants and we started winning on Mondays. there's something, you know, the only thing I can think of is that the Braves, you know, typically don't give teams getaway days. So they're used to playing it at night more. But that's just speculation. I don't think it's a preparation thing. They know they've struggled in day games. For whatever reason, they just continue to struggle in them. You know, there's just some things that happen in a major league season that have no explanation, and that's one of them for me.
I'm going to make an assessment of what I've seen, something that I've noticed, and it might be entirely wrong. It might have no effect on what's happening, but, I mean, at this point, anybody is speculating because, you know, we've asked the players, we've asked Snit, we've asked everybody, and nobody seems to have an answer. But to me, I mean, what you're talking about, with BP, almost nobody takes BP before day games. That's why if you get there, you're a fan, you're disappointed because nobody takes it, especially at a 12:20 start.
Right.
That's the problem. I don't know why they start a game at 12:20. I really don't.
Throws your clock off.
Huh?
It throws your clock off. I mean, you in a major league season, you're going to bed at 2 a.m. every night.
Yeah. I mean, and you play the night before, so I don't understand why you would start any earlier than like 1:20. I mean, the Braves have a problem with the parking is why they don't have more day games because, you know, they use these businesses parking around. That's one thing that they didn't do when they built. That's about the only thing they didn't do right when they built that place. They don't have enough parking, so they have to use a lot of businesses around, which is why it's hard to have day games. But they have to have them if the visiting team is flying more than 2 hours. So that's a major league rule. So hardly anybody takes BP before day games. But the Braves have a lot of show and goes on day games, especially if they play the night before. And Snit's really good about getting guys rest and all that, and they appreciate it and all that. But I think maybe they could use a little more, get there a little earlier for those day games. Because I just think when you go from doing certain things a certain way for a few hours, you get prepped for a night game, whether even if BP's optional, most guys still hit for those night games. And if they don't, they hit in the cage indoors. They do something, you know. But even the guys that don't hit, they're loosening up. They're doing their things. With the day games, I've noticed that they have a lot of later. They can get there late, and they just don't have a lot of time to get going, to get ready.
Yeah.
And I think it could affect them. I really do. I'm not saying that every other team, you know, gets there 3 hours early or anything, but I just think that Snit maybe it's a little late in the game to do it now, but. And because in the postseason, you know, it's not going to be a problem. It damn sure better not be a problem. You're not going to have show and goes for a, you know, playoff game that starts at 1.
Yeah.
But I think during the regular season, that is a problem at times. And I think they could stand to get there an hour earlier, some of the guys, and get going. Just get the juices flowing, man. Have a couple more cups of coffee. Have a couple. Do whatever you have to do to get loosened up, warmed up indoors in the cage, throwing, whatever it is. I really think they can stand to get there a little earlier on some of those. And that's just my amateur assessment. And I might be entirely wrong. And some of the players might hear this and go, no, that ain't it. But to me, that's just what I've observed. And I think they get off the slow. It seems like they come out in day games and have a tough time stringing together one or two hits or a couple of hits and getting anything going offensively. Just so many day games where you look up and they've got one hit in the first five innings. So that's
just. I mean, there might be something to that. There's definitely there's a tendency on those day games to just be in, you know, Sunday mode and just kind of cruising into it. I don't know. I'd like to think these guys are professional athletes that they know what they need to do to prepare for those games and get themselves going. But hey, I mean, I guess you could definitely, I mean, I would fall into that trap sometimes. Luckily I was a reliever, so it didn't matter.
Right. Right.
But I'd fall into that trap of another cup of coffee and watch SportsCenter for another half hour, 40 minutes, and just kind of drag yourself into your daily routine and come in a little sleepy. But I would just, you know, for me, I would give the guys the benefit of the doubt that they're doing what they need to do to prepare. And it's almost like, honestly, a lot of times if you have, I've been on teams that, you know, you take full BP on a day game and all of a sudden I got to start my routine at 8 o'clock.
Right. Right. And that's not realistic, I don't think.
No, it happens though, and it sucks.
Yeah.
So you got to start all your personal prep because your window to get ready for the game goes from, you know, you get there at 2 for a 7 o'clock game. You got 5 hours to get ready. On a day game after a night game, you're probably getting to the park 9:30, and BP would be at 10:10 if you were hitting it, or you know 10:30 somewhere around there, even if it's optional. So all of a sudden your whole routine's kind of sped up, and you don't have time to do the individual things you need to do to get ready for the game. So for me, I loved when we didn't hit because it was like, okay, now I could take my time and get right. We'll go out and throw it like 11:30 or 12 and I'll feel the same. I don't know, you know, how that affects position players' routines.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, you got to look at it too. Like, how are they playing the day after a night game? Yeah. If you have the whole team up at, you know, 7:30 after a night game and they got BP at 10 o'clock, players hate you for that.
Yeah.
You're losing 2 hours of sleep and it might catch up with you the next day too. So, I mean, it's a tough one, but I just got to give guys the benefit of the doubt that they know what they need to do to prepare. And if anything it needed to change, it'd be just kind of a meeting about it. Like, hey guys, we suck in day games. Get your shit going, you know, kind of.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And yeah. I'm not talking about, and I know they can't get there and take full BP and all that. That'd be stupid. Guys would be out there bitter about it and stuff.
Yep.
It would be counterproductive. And I think, and I don't think consciously that anybody is trying or, you know, that goes, you know what, I should be here earlier. I just think a lot of these are really young guys, man, in their first seasons, you know?
Yeah. So maybe they don't know, you know, that you have to learn kind of what you need to be doing to get ready for those games. That could make sense.
And I just see the time that they have to report for these day games sometimes. And I'm going, that's so different than any night game that they have. As far as it'd be like if they had a 7:20 start and they could get there at 5:50, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just because I've wondered the same thing. I mean, they're 4 games under 500 in day games, and they're 41 games over 500 in night games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's pretty glaring.
Yeah, no, that's hard to argue with. I mean, if anything,
if you're a 500 team in day games, you'd be 3 games up in the division.
Yeah, I think that the only thing I would change if I was managing is maybe just talk to guys like, hey, let's all get a sweat going, you know, wake the body up, get moving, you know, just a little earlier and try to wake up. But like I said, we had that year we couldn't win on Mondays. You know, it's like, well, what were we doing on Mondays?
Yeah.
Who knows? It wasn't anything different. You know, sometimes years just stack up like this. I don't know how they played on day games last year, but sometimes these things just happen in baseball and you can analyze them all you want. And there's just zero explanation.
Guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up the show.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Aaron F. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not bad.
Yeah, so I know Dave already kind of talked about it for a minute there, and you commented on it as well, Eric, but just the overall intensity going into the playoffs, you know, winning the division versus going in as a wild card, I kind of feel like the Braves had a good advantage last year, kind of fighting up until the end, and that may be the case this year as well. But just want to get you guys' thoughts. You know, do you think that there's any advantage to playing in the wild card versus winning the division, just having that intensity? And do you think it could play out a little bit better for us if they do?
I think that any advantage you get in staying sharp,
yeah,
because there is something to that. Having you kind of worry a little bit. If your team has like 6 games off while the other teams are playing the division series or 5 days off, you know, but I think any positive there is to that is far outweighed by having to use your first 2 or 3 best starting pitchers.
Yeah, I agree. And skipping around, you know, I mean, you can't lose that round if you don't play in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, definitely. I think you guys kind of commented on this as well, but you know, I think the Braves are definitely set up a little bit better going into that type of a situation than the Mets would. Overall, I think our top four is probably better than the Mets' top four, obviously with DeGrom and Scherzer, they're pretty well set up. But I think to you guys' point, you know, you could pretty much line up any of our top four as a starter in game one, and they'd be pretty well set up, even if they had to go through the wild card.
If the Mets had to play a wild card series, they would have to use DeGrom and Scherzer. And think about it, neither of those guys is a guy you're going to bring back on short rest at all. Not at this point. Scherzer, earlier in his career, but not now. And certainly not DeGrom. He's been going on extra rest ever since he came off the IL.
And he's headed into free agency, so he might be a little more reluctant.
Yeah, they're like wondering how he's going to pitch on regular rest in the postseason.
Yeah.
So I think
that would be the biggest advantage is, you know, if you were looking at matching up with the Mets or another team, the biggest advantage for me would be their starting pitching getting jacked up versus, you know, you having to use yours. Because I think the Braves are, they're not 100% interchangeable, but they're pretty strong 1-4. If you could dick up another team's, you know, their plan by them having to use, you know, Scherzer and DeGrom, that'd be a pretty big benefit.
And it's certainly not the same, but you could have a couple of, you know, inter-squad type games in that interim because you got to do something to stay sharp.
You have to.
But it's not the same. But, man, to be able to line up your best three starters, best four starters, any way you want for round, your first round in the in a division series would be pretty huge compared to the alternative of having to use two or all three of your top three starters in that wildcard series.
Yeah, and I do think there's an advantage of getting that first really high adrenaline game out of the way. But after game one in a 5 or 7 game series, I don't think it's as big of a factor. But obviously, game one's a big deal.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Harry B. What's up, Harry?
Hi. Mike Soroka is my question. Obviously, we all love him. We've great story. I really was hoping to see him maybe soon, but I guess the real question now is: do you think he's going to get on the playoff roster? Do you think they're going to let him see some innings?
No, he's not done anything to warrant being on the playoff roster.
Yeah, if he was dealing,
he's never pitched in relief in his career. And coming off this Achilles thing, I think the last thing you want to do is have him not knowing when he's going to be called upon or whatever. So all of a sudden you're going to go, you've never pitched in relief in your career, and you're coming off something that no pitcher has ever come back from. So get in there and throw a few innings of relief. And they got a bullpen. They only need like 4 guys going strong in their bullpen because they hope to God they don't need a long reliever, you know, at some point in the postseason. But if they do, they've got 1 or 2 of those guys, you know, that can go multiple innings, like a McHugh or sure Bryce Elder. Bryce Elder might end up being that long guy in the thing. Yeah. But Bryce Elder is certainly more qualified or more suited to do that long relief role right now than Soroka is.
The last thing I'd ever do is give Soroka an adrenaline shot and put him in a random inning, you know, like,
yeah,
mess with his preparation and jack him up with energy.
And then he's coming off the mound trying to field a ball because he can't, you know, he's got to do it. He's there for one inning.
I wouldn't, you know, if he was absolutely dealing and there was a couple starters really falling off right now, and you felt like you really needed a little extra depth, you know, I'd think about it. But even then, I just can't imagine a situation where I would want to put him into just a situation where he can't prepare perfectly coming off this second Achilles surgery. I'd want to have him 100% ready. I want him knowing when he's going to pitch. I think it'd be cool, you know, if they clinch the division or something, get him an inning or give him a start toward the end of the season. I think that'd be pretty damn cool for him just to step back on a major league mound. But as far as playoffs go and him not throwing his best right now and coming off the injury, it's something I wouldn't push at all.
Yeah. I thought if it's settled, either they're going to, if they clinch the division, or if the Mets clinch the division before or during that Marlins series, I mean, I could see giving Soroka one of those starts if they don't mean anything. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to use one of your main guys. And I could see Elder getting a start too because he's pitched really well in his 2 starts against the Marlins and also in his start the other day against the Nationals. He's done a great job in his 3 spot starts
since
he first got demoted. So, yeah, that's the only way I could see Soroka getting a start before the year's over is if those Marlin games don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Then that might really help him going into the offseason if he could pitch, you know, 3 or 4 innings in one of those games.
Yeah, and if they could guarantee him the 9th or just say, you know, this guy's going 3, you have the 4th inning or something, let him fully prepare.
Right, piggyback maybe.
I think that'd be pretty cool for him if you want to let him rack up a few innings It's a really cool story when he gets back on the major league mound, but it's not the top priority, and his health's the top priority number one. But I do think it'd be really cool if they could find a way to get him out there this year just for him, yeah, for closure to be back on the mound and get to look forward to next season.
But I don't think, right now, I don't think that the thing's going to be settled until
– no.
Maybe until the last day of the season, but probably not before that Marlins series. Certainly not until the Mets series is over.
Yes, it's been this way the whole year.
Yeah.
Kelly W.
Hey, Eric. It's Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I have a quick question. You brought up starting rotation earlier. I'm looking at the back end. How close do you think the competition will be between Kenley and Edwin? Or let me put it a little bit clearer. Do you think Kenley will come back from the recent losses?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been through it. If you look at the last however many years with the Dodgers, he's had spurts like this throughout his time. Me and Dave have talked about it. I wouldn't be afraid to have Iglesias close. And if he struggles in the postseason early, I think you kind of got to have a quick trigger on that. But at the same time, he's bounced back from a lot. He looked better yesterday. It's just kind of a situation I think you got to play by ear.
Yeah, I agree. I'm concerned about Diaz. But, again, I wouldn't rule Jensen out.
Yeah, Snit. Snit is loyal to a fault, if anything, to his guys. And with Kenley, he's not jerked him out of the role like they did, and like Dave Roberts did a couple of times, including during the postseason. If people remember, he wasn't closing all the games in 2020 when they won the World Series. So I think Kenley does appreciate the fact that Snit stood by him. But at the same time, if Snit pulled him from that role, it also wouldn't be the first time it's happened to him. But he has pitched better in like three out of the last four. And you know what? The other night, everybody was ragging on him, but
that was
two yeah. bunts, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're laying down bunts, and one of them was a little blue bunt that was like into no man's land. I mean, it was just – that was ridiculous. I mean, it's a 6'6" guy, 280 pounds or 70 pounds trying to go – field this bunt. He's lucky he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And then they put down another bunt and it just kind of went sideways, but he didn't pitch bad in that game. Then they get a single, a legit single, but even that, it wasn't like they were crushing a ball off of him. I didn't think he pitched that bad at all in that game.
I thought he looked better. I thought his cutter looked tighter. Yeah. Just the swings he was getting, those, when I see him getting those cutters up in the zone and righties, you can tell they're waiting for it to break, and it breaks late and they swing late and they swing under it. That's when I can tell his cutter's really tight and looking good. But yeah, that inning the other day, it was like, you know, a bunt. And then the second bunt, you know, I think Olsen got an error on.
Yep.
So unearned run. That's one of those tests too. It's like when you're going terrible and an inning starts out like that and starts to unravel, you know, kind of controlling it and keep throwing good pitches. And he did. I mean, gave up a single, but I mean, he gave up a single in an inning. It's not a big deal for a closer.
And really, he was all out of sorts at that point. Or you know, at least he'd been – they had to come out and check on him. The trainer did, because he's a big man, and his neck and back got a little out of whack on that, you know, trying to feel that bunt when he ran into – I think it was Grissom. He ran into him. And you know, it's just like – it was a weird inning. So
that was one of those innings you have when you're going bad.
Yeah,
you know, when things are just kind of piling up on you, and he did a good job controlling
it. But I thought he pitched pretty well in the previous, yeah, like three out of the previous four outings, and he's shown some progress for sure. So, but it's nice they got this depth, because, I mean, very few teams have the depth they do in the bullpen. The Mets have a better closer, obviously. They got the best closer on the planet right now.
Yeah.
But the Braves bullpen is better than the Mets bullpen as far as depth wise. If you're going to go like five deep, the Braves is better. And I'm including Matzik in that. He's not back where he was last year for sure, but he's showing some signs of getting there. But, you know, Mentor's pitching well again now. And Iglesias has been lights out since they got him. That was a great trade.
That was a great trade.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take Tupac over Narco any day.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, David.
Yep. Thank you.
Trey S., last question. What's up, Trey?
How you doing, Eric?
Not bad, man.
Good, good. So, assuming that we end up in the wild card round just for the sake of this conversation. I would assume that in all likelihood, Freed is going to start game one, correct?
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So let's assume again that we win game one. Would you consider maybe saving Strider for down the road and potential, or do you play your best two cards right off the bat?
You got to win it.
You got to get through that series for me.
Yeah, because if you win it in two games, then you got Kyle Wright to start game three for you, or game one in the next round for you. Yeah, if you try to get cute like that, then you're going to end up,
Anytime in baseball you start counting your cards ahead of time.
Especially in the postseason, man.
Right.
That will bite you in the ass. You got to use your best guys and win the thing and get done.
Yeah, you win game one, you say we want to win game two, be done, have Kyle start game one of the division series and keep going. Gotcha. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's assuming he starts Strider in two. I don't even know if he will. I mean, Snit loves Kyle Wright. So, but whatever order he has, I don't think he's going to change that based on whether they win, game one. But I think if I had to guess, it'd be Strider in game two. I really do.
Right, because his ceiling is so high.
Yes.
And that's the safety, I guess, with Freed is his floor, I guess, would be a little bit higher. But in my head, I guess I was just thinking it'd be nice to potentially have Strider available if we were to win game two to start game one. But I think you're right.
Well, you might have him anyway, but I think that, just the thought process of looking forward to the next series before you handle the first round is just it's just the baseball gods hate that.
Right. Okay, cool. That was my question. Yep. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Love
you
the show.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much to all who turned out to the live room. It was a great time again. If you want to be notified when we do host the live rooms, not only should you subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get the podcast, but also make sure you are a member of The Athletic. Perfect deal going on right now. $1 a month for 6 months at theathletic.com/755. You can't beat it. Less than a cup of coffee for the best sports writing in the biz and also your guys' favorite Braves podcast. And just a quick show update as well before we head out. We will be back next Tuesday with another live room. Eric's on vacation, so we're going to have to do some remote finagling and logistical stuff. So we're going to be doing another live room next week on Tuesday. Make sure you guys are following us on all the platforms, as mentioned before, and the guys on Twitter, so you know when we will be hosting that live room. From David and Eric, we're out. 755 is real. See you guys next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.